Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to another episode of MNN Sports Talk Podcast. I'm Mark Morales, alongside Nick Rivera. And Nick, before we get started, you know, last Sunday there was a tragedy in LA, and fortunately the crash took the lives of Kobe Bryant, Gianna Bryant, and a few others that were close to the Bryants as well. I just want to say rest in peace to Kobe and Gianna Bryant on behalf of MNN Sports Talk Podcast, and to the other seven people that were involved in the horrible accident. Our prayers go out to the Bryants and to all the families affected by this tragedy. It was such a horrible, horrible day on Sunday. This accident affected a lot of people worldwide, not just the families that were affected, not just basketball fans, but, you know, fathers out there, mothers out there, families out there. You know, I feel like this tragedy just affected everyone in some sort of way. You know, it affected me personally because Kobe Bryant was the reason why I got into basketball, and this, it was just such a shocking turn of events on Sunday.
Yeah, pretty tragic, pretty kind of out of the blue, random. Wasn't really expecting that, but prayers go out to all the families involved.
Yeah, it was a sad day, but unfortunately, you know, life has to go on. We have to move forward, as hard as it may be. And just once again, on behalf of MNN Sports Talk Podcast, our prayers go out to all the families that were affected by this tragedy. But now let's get on with what we are going to talk about today. We're talking about Eli Manning. We're talking about Super Bowl 54. But before we get into that, don't forget to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at MNN Sports Talk Pod. And give us a like on Facebook. Just search our name, MNN Sports Talk Podcast, and give us a like. So, Nick, last week on Friday, your idol, the former quarterback of the New York Giants, Eli Manning, retired after 16 seasons from the NFL.
A hero.
And it seemed like it was coming after he was benched after week two of this past season for Daniel Jones to get the start. He sat out for, what was it, like 8-9 games, came back, lost the road game, won his final home game, finished with I believe he finished 500 for his career, Eli. I think he was 117-117 with no ties.
What a legend.
What are your thoughts, Nick? I know he was your guy. You're the Giants fan, so take it away.
Eli. It kind of just, it was so sad seeing him retire because it felt kind of forced. Because just because the Giants aren't in a good spot right now, I feel like all the people within his draft class, Phillip Rivers, Ben Roethlisberger, and all the other, not all the other, but some of the other older quarterbacks in the NFL, including Tom Brady, they're all kind of left alone because their teams are not as bad as the Giants. They're not in the lottery for the draft. They're making the playoffs, or they're a decent, mediocre team. But no one is talking about Phillip Rivers retiring. He might go to a new team. No one's talking about Ben Roethlisberger retiring. Tom Brady might go to a new team, but Eli doesn't get this luxury because his team is bad. But if you look, his play has been kind of on par with everyone else. Meanwhile, he has the worst offensive line in the league. But I mean, it is what it is. I'm happy he retired now. Kind of just got it over with. The past couple of years, ownership and coaches, they were kind of just trying to determine how to do it. Like, they benched him for Geno, then they're like, wait a minute, that wasn't a good idea. Then they thought for like two more years now they could go to the playoffs, and they draft Saquon, and just this whole debacle kind of set them back a little bit. I mean, I'm happy that they got Saquon. I'm happy with the draft picks they made. But I feel like if they would have just handled this Eli situation not necessarily years ago, or just figured out what they're going to do from the get-go, I feel like they're back and forth nonstop, that they would have been like farther along in their quote-unquote rebuild process. I mean, I like where they're at, but I feel like they could have just been a year and a half, 2 years farther along and been in a better spot, not necessarily in like the lottery again.
So you would have been okay with the Giants moving on from Eli, let's just say the year that they got Saquon?
I mean, not necessarily that I would have been okay with it. It was just, like, the way they did it. Like, they benched him for Eli, and then,
like, they benched him for Geno, you mean?
Or, yeah, they benched him for Geno. Like, if you're going to bench him, but don't do it for Geno Smith. Come on now. Like, everyone knew that he wasn't a potential replacement for him. Look at Kyle Laletta. Look at David Webb.
Yeah. I was going to say, I feel like I would have been, you know, if I was a Giants fan, I would have been okay with them benching him for Webb or for how do you say his name? The other guy?
Who, Laletta?
Yeah, Laletta. I feel like I would have been more okay with them going with Webb or Laletta as opposed to going for Geno Smith at that time. Because, yeah, like you said, you knew what you were getting with Geno.
Benching him for the sake of benching him. Like, it kind of made no sense. And then right after, when the media was like, what? Then they're like, oh, wait, just kidding. And at that point, the kind of damage is done. Like, you broke his consecutive start streak for Geno Smith. Come on now. That's so disrespectful.
Yeah. And, like, I think that just goes to show you the type of person Eli is, too, because, you know, if it was me, I'd be like, no, if you're going to bench me, you're not benching me for Geno Smith. And you know, what was his record? Like 215 straight games with a start, something like that, 217?
Something along those lines, yeah.
Yeah, I would have been like, absolutely not. I'm getting the start. You want to bench me for Geno? Then he could come in the second half. I'm playing the first two quarters. I want to keep my streak going. I mean, that's just me. That's just the type of person I am. But I think that just shows you the class of Eli Manning, of him just being like, you know what? I'm going to put my personal records to the side. If this is what the organization wants to do, then so be it.
And it kind of made no sense to me because I feel like the people that clowned on him the most were actual Giants fans. And it kind of made no sense. Like, I feel like throughout his whole career, like the whole league and all the fans, you know, they would poke fun at Eli, but it was like a joking kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the New York fans were like actually like, like they were, they meant it and they just wanted him gone, like for no kind of reason. Like, he was just hanging out, doing his thing for 16 years, getting in no trouble, giving back to the community, winning some Super Bowls, and everyone just didn't like him. It's like, well, why not? Leave my guy alone.
And he even said in his press conference, he said that the New York fans were unique. So you think that was like kind of like, not shots fired at the fans, but kind of like, yeah, I know you guys were talking all that garbage about me, but you know what? It's okay.
Yeah, I don't blame him because New York fans kind of melt my brain. They like hate on Porzingis.
Then well, that's due. He's due. That's okay. Hating on Porzingis is fine.
Well, before, you know, he did his thing, but when they initially drafted him, they boo him. Then all of a sudden, he's got the highest selling jersey. Like, come on now, make up your mind.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Yankee Stadium. You could hit 50 home runs, but you like have one bad game and everyone boos you out the building. It kind of blows my mind.
Yeah.
Except for the Knicks. They're ride or die for the Knicks. I'll give New York that.
Yeah, that is true.
Of all the teams that have let them down and just kicked them in the stomach while they're on the ground, they just keep coming back for more. Selling out that arena.
Yeah. But like I said before, Eli, he finished his career 117-117. He threw for 57,023 yards, 366 touchdowns, 244 interceptions, a 60.3 completion percentage. He has two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs. Nick, do you look at him as being one of the best athletes of our generation in New York? Do you look at him the same way that some fans might look at Derek Jeter, some fans might look at Henrik Lundqvist? I know Lundqvist doesn't have the hardware that Eli and Jeter have, but do you put him at the same type of do you put him in the same type of conversation as those two guys?
Yeah, I do, because for 16 years he just been putting in the work to be an all around like good role model. Like, you have all these people glorifying these athletes that are felons, wife beaters, all this, and Eli just shows up, plays football, goes home, nothing in the media, and people vilified him for it. Kind of, I don't know. To me, he's one of the all-time greats. They should retire his number, and I think he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. He's he was all class, never got in trouble. He was the type of guy that you wanted. You know, like, he's the type – his personality was the type of personality that all NFL executives should want in their player, especially in their star quarterback. He was in one of the biggest markets in New York. Like you said, never got in trouble, never made headlines. except for that one incident where I don't really know too much about it. I don't know if you do, and if you do, you could enlighten me on it. But it was like something with like merchandise sales with like signed helmets or something like that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, I remember that.
I don't really know too much about it.
I don't remember the details, but he was like kind of not really involved, or it was like his agent, or like it was like someone like in his like party or like group that was like exploiting something, or it was like, I don't even remember, to be honest with you. Yeah. It was like a report, and then like the next day it wasn't even a thing anymore.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think that was ever proven. So, I mean, he was pretty much squeaky clean throughout his entire 16-year career. Just like you, I mean, the Giants said, I think John Mara even said that no one will ever wear number 10 again. He's going to be in the Ring of Honor. So he's going to get all the Giant accolades that you could possibly ask for. Now, the question is, Nick, I mean, do you think he truly is going to be voted into the Hall of Fame? I know you said you believe he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I think he is a Hall of Famer. I don't know about first ballot, because I just, reading a bunch of different articles, listening to what people are saying in the sports world, a lot of people, I feel like there's like mixed feelings. You know, we brought up his numbers. We brought up his two rings, two Super Bowl MVPs, four-time Pro Bowler, 2016 Walter Payton Man of the Year. But when you look at his numbers, though, I feel like people might not vote him in, at least for the first year. I don't know, man. I think it's going to be tough. I think he'll eventually get in, but I don't know about first ballot. I mean, if I had a vote, I'd vote him in. Obviously, you feel the same way. But I think it's going to be tough, man, to get him in first ballot.
I just don't understand how he's not first ballot. Like, there's all these people that play half the seasons he did, do half the things he does, and are in the Hall of Fame. And then people bring up his record. No other position in football and any other sport takes into account wins except for a pitcher. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, quarterbacks are attributed wins. But it's a team sport where it's 11 on 11, but he gets blamed for having a 500 record when the last 6 years, with the exception of like 2014 where they went to the playoffs, his teams have been dookie. He won two Super Bowls, won both against two of the best teams of like either decade. In 2009, it was against the going to be perfect Patriots. He has two of the greatest plays in Super Bowl history with two throws, one to Manningham, one to David Tyree. All these game-winning drives. I don't know how he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer with all his accolades, what he does. Sure, he may not be the greatest quarterback of all time, but he's in like the top 10 of all the lists, top 10 like touchdowns, yards. So I don't know how.
Interceptions.
Yeah. But hey, that's my Eli. But there's quarterbacks with worse stats and with losing records in the Hall of Fame. So I don't know where that conversation was with them. But
like Joe Namath?
Yeah, like it's Joe Namath and one other guy. I don't even remember his name. Some dude that played in like 1733. But
I think the difference is that when people talk about it is that back in those days when Namath played, and I guess the other guy you're talking about, I think they were saying that it was harder for receivers or something like that to get the ball. I don't know. They said because like now you can't really touch them. I guess they're talking about right off the line of scrimmage. I'm assuming. I mean, I have no idea. But that's just the argument that, you know, back then it was harder for the receiver to get open, I guess.
Back then it was a team sport. Now it's not, apparently. It's 11 on 11.
I don't know. I'm just gotta telling play you off the same defense.
He's got to block for himself. He's got to catch his own balls. He's got to defend against the other quarterbacks. But hey. But then the same people that say Eli is not a first ballot, they're the same people that would vote Phillip Rivers and Big Ben in first ballot. And that kind of is mind-boggling because I feel like Eli is in the same tier as them. But Ben, how many does Ben have? One or two? I think he has one. He beat the Cardinals.
One, two. Let's see. I'll check right now for you.
I know it's
one. He's two-time. Two-time.
Two?
Yeah, two-time Super Bowl champion, six-time Pro Bowler, and 2004 Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I think it was the Cardinals, and then was it the Seahawks they beat? It might have been.
Maybe.
I don't remember. But yeah, he's got two. Phillip's got nothing. Mm-hmm. But because they – and look at the teams they're on. Big Ben has, like, all-time defenses for how long? Eli had a great defense, but only for a short time. And Phillip had all this great offense for how long, but didn't do nothing in the playoffs. But they're both first ballot, but not Eli because
– you really think Phillip Rivers is first ballot?
Yeah, I think all three of them. It's going to go down as the greatest quarterback class, 2004. It's going to have Eli, Phillip Rivers, Big Ben. There's a couple. Oh, Larry Fitzgerald. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah. And, you know, going back to what you said before, there was a report earlier in the week that Phillip, or maybe last week, that Phillip Rivers apparently moved on from the Chargers. Like, they've agreed to, like, move on from each other. So.
You waited 10 years too late. You should have did that after LT left.
Yeah. But, you know, that just brings up my point. Do you think Eli, well, it brings up my next point. Do you think Eli should have tried to play for another team as opposed to just retiring? Because obviously, he didn't want to be the backup. I'm pretty sure he's come out and said that, that he would rather start. Do you think that he should have looked for another starting job? And do you think he did, and that's why he retired, because there wasn't any interest out there?
I think he retired just because, one, he never wanted to be a backup. Like you said before, when you brought up the streak, he didn't want to continue the streak just for the sake of continuing it. Like, for example, he didn't want to start and then have Geno or whoever come in afterwards and, like, finish the game.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, like, from every report I've read from Peyton Manning, that he didn't want to play for anywhere else. So if he wasn't going to start for the Giants, he didn't want to play anywhere else. And I feel like if he did want to continue playing, he could have found some team out there. That there's plenty of teams looking for a quarterback, and in the right situation, I feel like there is at least 2 to 3 teams he could have went to and found a job. But
yeah.
I really don't think he wanted to do that. He just wanted to be a Giant for life. Like, when he first got drafted, he wanted to be a Giant. He told the Chargers, "Don't draft me. I'm not going to play for you." And they're like, "Nah, he's lying." And then they draft him, and then he was like, "I wasn't joking." So from the very beginning of his career, it was pretty important to him to play for the Giants. For whatever reason, he's from Mississippi, but that's fine with me. You could play for my team any day.
Yeah, for me, like, no, I agree with everything you're saying. I feel like it would have been a little weird to see Eli in another jersey, the same way it's going to be weird if Tom Brady moves on for the Patriots. I'm kind of glad that Eli chose to retire, because, you know, I feel like it kind of would have, if he went and played for another team, not that it would have tarnished his legacy, but I feel like he wouldn't mean as much to the state of New York, to the, like, for the Giant fans, if he went and played for another team. You know, Giants fans are going to love him forever for bringing the 2 Super Bowls, being, you know, class guy for 16 years, never getting hurt, by the way, never missed a game due to injury. He's like the Iron Man over there. But I feel like it would have taken away a little bit seeing him play for another team. Would you agree with that, or are you glad, as a Giants fan, are you glad that he chose to retire as opposed to playing for another team?
I mean, it's kind of half and half. Like, I'm glad he retired, because now, like, every photo, every, like, highlight you'll ever see is always him being in a Giant uniform. But I feel like in the short term, and the long term, like, I feel like in the short term, it wouldn't have made a huge deal. It would have been, like, a shock. But in the long term, I feel like everyone forgets about it and it won't even really be a thing. Like, when you're talking about Joe Namath, no one thinks of him being a Chief. Brett Favre, thinks of him being a Jet. I mean, I guess you could kind of see him being a Viking just because he had, like, that little playoff run. And, like, Donovan McNabb being a Viking and a Redskin. Like, it just felt weird, and it was, like, a small footnote on their career. But, I mean, it is out there. Like, if you search them up, it just doesn't seem right. And so I'm glad Eli chose to retire so I wouldn't have to, like, see him being in, like, a Bucks uniform. Like, that would just be disgusting. Yeah. And that's what Phillip Rivers is going to do. I heard that he's about to go to Tampa Bay, and maybe Tom Brady goes, like, to the Chargers. Those are, like, the most popular things I keep seeing.
Yeah, that'd be crazy if that happens.
That'd be so gross.
But if you think about it, for Tom Brady, that might make the most sense. You go to LA and you kind of do what LeBron did. Just focus on, I mean, obviously focus on winning, focus on playing football, but, you know, now you're in LA, you could focus on your brand too. And for the Chargers, it might make the most sense as well, because you bring in a guy, I mean, they have a hard time selling out a soccer stadium, and now they have this brand new stadium, an NFL stadium. So maybe you bring in someone like Tom Brady that, you know, juices up the fan base and makes them want to come out, buy some tickets, go to the games, and then, you know, you jumpstart the fan base, and then you send Tom Brady off when he's ready to retire. And now when you move on from him, now you got a real fan base to build off of.
Yeah, I mean,
and for Phillip Rivers, I mean, I don't know what he's thinking, going to the Bucks, but I mean, that's just, I guess maybe he just doesn't want to play in any other type of weather other than like nice weather, but I don't even know what to say about that.
It's going to be crazy. I got some crazy predictions for these quarterback switch-ups. It's going to be wild. People are going to be jumping all over the place.
Let's hear them.
Oh, I mean, I got a couple outrageous ones. I'll save those. I think so. Let's see. So Chicago, I got moving on. Oh, that's a hard thing. See, Chicago, I feel like they want to move on, but just because the fact they drafted Trubisky in front of Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, they want to stick with mm-hmm. him for like 10 years to just be sure that he's decent. They're like, we can't.
Well, I mean, they traded up for him.
Bozos. Even I was like, what are you, bozos? But anyway, if they do want to move on, I feel like Cam Newton would be crazy right there.
Mm-hmm.
And then who would
I've heard about that too.
Who would the Panthers get? I feel like the Panthers would make some bozo move because now they got who'd they hire? I don't even remember.
Matt Rhule.
So
you don't think they'll stick with that rookie? What was it, Kyle Allen, I think?
Nah, he was trash. I don't know. I feel like they're just gonna get some hand-me-down quarterback. I feel like they'll like pick up like Mariota or
Oh, that's right. Jameis Winston.
Oh, ew. Nah, he's within the division. I don't think he'll do that. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Panthers, I feel like, are just going to get some hand-me-down quarterback. Bucks, I think, will get Rivers. Because he went to Florida. And then how many teams are in Florida? There's Tampa Bay. And there's, is that it?
Miami.
And Miami got, well, they think they're going to get Tua or somebody. They have Josh Rosen. But they're like, you know what? Let's trade for him. Josh Rosen. But let's play Fitzpatrick the whole year. Yeah.
That'll do it. I know.
There's going to be a whole lot of rookies. Joe Burrow's about to go to the Bengals.
This way, Andy Dalton might. That might be a name that floats
That's
around.
Crazy, too. They disrespect Andy Dalton for no reason. Like, his rookie year, he took them to the playoffs, and they were good for a hot minute. And now they've been bad for, like, 2 years, and everything's Andy Dalton's fault. Andy Dalton's been a sleeper, and no one's respecting him. I don't know why.
And of course, he made his dramatic comeback against the Jets this past season after being benched.
Andy Dalton, but he's like surprisingly been in the league a while now. What is he like? Is he in his 30s yet? Yeah. I think he's like 31 or something like that.
Let's see. He is.
I'm gonna say 31. He's been in the league at 8-9 years, I think now.
He's 32. Whoa. He just turned 32 in October.
I'm getting old too. Jeez. I don't know. I feel like Tom Brady, he'll go to LA. I feel like the Raiders might do something. Not like get a new quarterback, but like put pressure on Carr to not be so trash.
Yeah, I could see that.
And I think it's just going to be wild. There's going to be some bold moves made. Another mm-hmm. prediction too, I think the Browns are going to get rid of Odell.
Yeah, I could see that happening. I mean, he's been a disaster. Every team he's been on, it's been a disaster for them.
I feel like the best part was he goes, they sent me here to Cleveland to rot. And that's what he's been doing.
And he's been rotting, yeah.
They sent me here to die, and his career fell off the map.
Yep.
Imagine he'd get traded in an even worse situation.
Yeah, imagine he goes to like the 49ers, though.
That'd be wild.
Mm-hmm.
That would be wild. And I can't wait for the Cowboys to pay Dak like $50 million a year.
Yeah, apparently he said just a little while ago, too, that a deal come this offseason or something like that. Doesn't have to come this offseason, though.
What a fool. He let everyone get paid before him. Jalen Smith, Zeke. Yep. And he's sitting there like, yeah, I can wait. Bozo.
No, he's not going to be worth the $40 million a year, though. My opinion, at least.
But he knows that they're going to pay him because Jerry Jones is so thirsty for that Super Bowl, and he doesn't know what else to do. You see him up in that booth. He's sweating for that Super Bowl.
Yep. And now they got McCarthy as the head coach, and maybe they take the step, though. Maybe they take that next step.
I don't know. I'm not a believer. Oh,
speaking of, like, I guess coaching, what's your thoughts on the Giants hiring Jason Garrett as offensive coordinator? And apparently, I don't know if this is official yet, but Freddie Kitchens as your tight ends coach.
So first, let me start.
You're just getting all the fired guys.
I don't think we talked about when they hired Judge. I feel like we did. But
I think for like a little
bit. I woke up and I saw the text you sent me and you were laughing. And I saw the report and I saw Giants hired Patriots coach. I look and I'm like, oh, let's go. They hired Josh McDaniels. And then I click on the article and it said Joe Judge. And I said, who?
It's Aaron Judge's cousin.
Yeah, man, that's a go right there. But I saw his interview and I'm already a believer. After watching his interview or his press conference, I wanted to run through a brick wall. But I'm ready for him. But Jason,
it's easy to talk, though.
I know, but
you got to walk the walk now.
I don't know. From day one, I knew Pat Shurmur was a bum. And Ben McAdoo always gave me weird vibes. Halfway because I wish they brought him back. McAdoo, gross. But for Jason Garrett, I think he'll be because I don't think he was that great as a head coach, but offensive coordinator, he was always the truth. And then they took away his playmaking or his play calling, and then that's kind of when they started to fall apart. But don't sleep on Jason Garrett. I really like that hire for offensive coordinator. The Freddie Kitchens thing, that is absolutely disgusting. But at least it's like a tight ends coach. Like, come on, how bad can you mess up Evan Engram? He has no hands to begin with. He drops everything.
He has no health.
Yeah, he has no health and no hands, so I'm not that worried about it. As long as he doesn't go near Sterling Shepard and Darius Slayton and he stays with the tight ends, we're good.
Yeah, I think the Jason Garrett one was a good hire. It takes a lot of pressure off of Joe Judge, first year rookie head coach.
And
you bring in a guy that has plenty of experience. Obviously his role is a lot smaller than it was in Jason Garrett, but you know, he'll be there to help him out. You know, he was in a tough market too. Dallas is a big time football market. So I thought that was a great move for the Giants. And Freddie Kitchens, like you said, whatever, man. It's the tight ends coach. Not a very big
As long
big
as
deal
he has no input in meetings, we're good. As long as he just sits there and listens.
Yeah. But before we move on to Super Bowl talk, I do want to ask you two more things regarding Eli. The first thing is, if he stayed with the Chargers for his entire career, do you think he would have had the same success? Do you think he would have had more Super Bowls, just the same amount or none or less? And also, finish off by giving me your best memories of Eli Manning.
Well, I don't think it would have been the same with the Chargers because, one, no one besides people in San Diego care about the Chargers. And now that they moved out of San Diego, no one cares about the Chargers. and it's hard to say because, like, both of their Super Bowl runs were just momentum. They were always on the road, and they always just caught fire and went and won the Super Bowl at 9-7. And if they were in the Chargers, he would have been in the AFC. And so I don't think that would have been a good look. I think coming out of the AFC every time was ideal. And I don't think – it's weird because I feel like if Eli was on the Chargers, he wouldn't have won anything. And if Rivers was on the Giants, he wouldn't have won anything either. So I feel like it was just ideal for both of them. I feel like they maximized the potential for both of them. I feel like they had the best career they possibly could be with either team. Best memory, Eli. There's too many to count. My favorite was was last season, not this past season, it was 2018. And, you know, they had the collection of all the Eli faces. And I remember it had to be Dallas. We were in Dallas and he got sacked and they just picked him up and they zoomed in on his face. I think you know what picture I'm talking about.
Yeah, I think so.
He just looks so stressed and his mouth is open.
Where'd his eyes, like, it looked like he was drunk. Yeah,
that was classic. Classic Eli. I just love all the faces. Or just like predicting what he was gonna do. Like if he like threw an incompletion or a pick, he'd like throw his hands up and do the little shoulder shrug. Oh, that was classic Eli.
Yeah.
My hero right there.
Well, let's move on to the Super Bowl. This Sunday, Super Bowl 54 will be played in Miami. We have the Chiefs going up against the San Francisco 49ers. We have the, you know, one of the most electric offenses in the game in the Kansas City Chiefs going up against one of the best defenses in the game in the 49ers. And Nick, I'm just going to give you my prediction right off the bat. I have the Kansas City Chiefs winning by the final of 34-27.
Ooh, bold. See, my thing is I want the Chiefs to win, but I have this deep feeling that the 49ers are just going to dominate them. I don't know why. I feel like
Well, every time you have these feelings, it ends up being true. You had Tennessee like beating the Ravens. You had Tennessee winning the who they play in the second round.
Was it the Texans or was it after that? No, they were in the championship.
No, the Chiefs played the Texans.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, but well, the first two rounds, either whoever they played, you had them winning the first two rounds, and I don't know how you got what you did. You did some type of rain dance. I don't know, but if you think the 49ers are going to win, maybe they are, since you know you have had these crazy predictions that have come
true. I don't
know
though, because like I feel like Jimmy G isn't going to play well at all, and I just feel like their defense is going to like I feel like it's going to be what last year's Super Bowl should have been with LA, like the defense keeping them in, but like the offense will do, you know, more than 3 points to help them win.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man, the Chiefs offense is so scary, but like, I don't know. Something about it is like, they're giving me weird vibes where like, they're not going to show up and they're just going to quack. Yeah. I don't know why.
Well, like you said, the Chiefs offense is scary. When they played the Texans, they went from being down 24-0 after the first quarter to putting up 51 straight points.
That was I remember I was watching that. They were down like 24-0 or whatever they were down, 21 or whatever. And I was like, damn, this sucks. I went to go make food and it like maybe 10 minutes passed and I come back and like they were within three. I said, wait.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Like, what is going on? And I had to like look up like the replay and the box score. I'm like, what just happened? I was going 10 minutes.
Yep.
It's wild though. And, I want the Chiefs to win for Andy Reid. I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I really want
him
to win.
And you know they have a tough task though, because the San Francisco's defensive line is arguably the best in football right now. You know, they have Nick Bosa, who's he's one of the top guys on that line, and it's going to be tough. You know, if the 49ers want to win, they have to keep Kansas City's offense off the field. The more possessions you give them, the more points they're going to score. That's pretty much it. I mean, every time Kansas City is on the field, it's minimum 3 points, in my opinion. So you have to, if the 49ers want to win this game, their defense has to show up, and they have to shut down Patrick Mahomes. And, you know, like, I'm pretty sure, what is it? Like, their defensive line is great, but their, you know, their corners aren't that great for the 49ers. Is that like the – I feel like I've been hearing that a lot.
I mean, Sherman's been playing well, but the other side I'm not a huge fan of. Mm-hmm. I forget his name, but Sherman is definitely he kind of balances them out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's in the higher end of corners, and then I don't even remember his name. He's not bad, but he's not like all-star, all-pro, so it kind of bounces out to be an average secondary.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me. But the the Chiefs secondary, I'm not a huge fan of either. Their kind of strength is like their linebackers and their front seven.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, we'll see. My prediction. Let's see. I got 49ers. I'm gonna go 33, Chiefs 28. I feel like they're just gonna, it's gonna come down to the wire, or it's gonna be a blowout, and one or the other will come back.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm gonna go with.
Pretty bold predictions there, Nick.
You feel me? That's all we do.
And I think it's crazy too that the 49ers are the third team in NFL history to reach the Super Bowl after winning four fewer games in the previous year. If you remember last year, they were 4-12, and obviously, you know, Jimmy G tore his ACL, so they, you know, they're playing without a quarterback for the majority of the season. But if they could pull this off, one of the best teams of all time. Would you agree? Since they were to come back from 4-12, now they're what, 13-3, they possibly win a Super Bowl.
And the crazy part is Jimmy G's been playing like beans.
I know. He didn't even really have to throw a lot, right? In the championship game, it was all running.
Yeah, he just showed up and they're like, all right, we're going to play now.
And he didn't really have a great game against the Vikings either, right?
No, not at all. Like, he's just been there.
Yeah. So he's going to have to show up. And we've seen that he can do that. Remember that game with the Saints, possibly the game of the year? When it was just like both sides just nonstop scoring touchdowns.
Yeah, I was like, what happened to defense? I was like, what's going on here?
Yeah, so I mean, he's shown that he can do that. So he's going to have to show up. And Patrick Mahomes, I hope it's not one of those instances where like the pressure and the game is too, and the moment's too big for him. I'd love to see him go out and still just play the same way he's been playing. But it's going to be interesting, man. Like I said, I got Kansas City winning 34-27. And like I mentioned, the 49ers want to win this game. They got to keep Kansas City's offense off the field.
Yeah, but it's easier said than done, so.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm hyped to see it, though. I feel like this is going to be one of the better Super Bowls of recent memory.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Last year was a dud.
Poop.
And this is one of the first years where, like, what is it? Like, Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, or Tom Brady, or none of them are in the Super Bowl. This is, like, one of the first times in a while, right?
It brings a tear to my eye. Love it. Joe Flacco. Remember when he won a Super Bowl? Boom.
Yep.
And then they signed him to that extension.
Yeah, he's never won again since then.
Oh, legend. What, I want to be just like that guy.
Well, you've been listening to Eminent Sports Talk Podcast. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget to give us a like on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Eminent Sports Talk Pod. Have a good one, everybody, and enjoy the Super Bowl.
George Kittle for president 2020.